what's on there to pray, but don't just pray that. Intercede through the Holy Spirit, whatever he gives you for those states. And I want to ask us if we'd be willing to do this together every day. Just commit. No, I'm not going to make you sign a paper. I'm not going to ask you. But just in your heart to commit to, boy, I've got some echo, Greg. I sound like I'm way too loud. So just commit to daily. Spend some time praying over those states. And I thought it was really eye-opening going through and looking at the different states and the motto and what God says about that state prophetically. So isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? So yeah. So let's just really commit to do that together. And because prayer changes things, and boy, this nation needs all the prayer she can get right now. If those of you who are here who remember the slide that we showed by Pastor Dana Coverstone, who had that prophetic dream warning us, you know, to get ready, September, October, November. Well, he's recently had another dream just a few days ago. He's had four or five. And so each one of them are just kind of expounding on what's coming. But this last one was quite a tear. It just moved me in my gut. I think it's so easy to get the attitude that, oh, we don't have anything to worry about. God's got this. Surely nothing really bad could happen to America. Surely America could never fall into a communist or socialist country. And that's just not true. I really believe that if Americans don't repent and pray and humble themselves and seek God's face, that we could see America collapse. I don't stick my head in the sand. That's not something I'm known for, or it's just not even in my vocabulary. So, wake up. I just think I'm just more than asking, I'm imploring all of us to be fervent in prayer. Every time you have an opportunity to pray for our nation right now, pray for the church. And the biggest thing I think in the church is the church is Sleeping Beauty. A number of years ago, the Lord showed me an encounter where I followed this young little girl through her life as we went through a castle, and it was like every turn she grew up. She got older, and when she was young teenager, she started climbing the stairway to go to the top, and she stopped and saw this spinning wheel, and it had a really sharp needle on it. And she was mesmerized by it, and it was as if she'd never seen it before, and it was gold, and it was shiny, and it was very, 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 very attractive to her. And I knew that this spinning wheel represented the world, spinning the world, and the trinkets that this world offers, the things this world offers. And this young, teenage, beautiful, beautiful princess reached out and touched that tip of that needle, and instantly she had blood poisoning. And she continued up a few more flights and ended up passing out and went into a coma. And the next scene, I was in the very top of the castle, the highest room. There was a window. I could see the kingdom And I look, this girl was now older, and she was in a coma, sleeping on a bed still. Still beautiful, but sound asleep, like not just asleep, but in a coma. And as I saw her, I knew I was looking at the American church. And I began to weep and weep over her state. And I noticed at some point Yeshua standing on to my right over here by the window. And he was weeping, just weeping, looking at her, just so grieved at her state. And I asked him, is there any hope? And he said, nodded yes. And he said, he turned and looked at me and said, but I'm not going to shake her, or I'm not going to something. I can't remember. In other words, he wasn't going to be violent with her. He said, but rather I'm going to kiss her awake. And I thought of the scripture that's the loving kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And he walked over to the bed and he smoothed her hair back off her forehead and he leaned down and kissed her forehead and she opened her eyes and the vision ended. I believe that's what where we're at right now in history. I believe he's in the upper room. I believe the church in America is pretty much asleep. But the Lord is kissing us awake. And we have to, you know, we have to choose to let him do that. And we have to choose to get up once we're awake. And so that's one of the things I pray often, and I have for quite a while, is for the church to wake up and cry out. So you can add that to every state on your list. Speak out the state, Missouri, wake up, church, wake up. Because if we don't wake up, one day we're going to wake up and find ourselves in a communist nation. And that last dream that Dana had, Dana Coverstone, that's exactly what he saw. He saw the Statue of Liberty toppled and destroyed. So... and I don't believe we have anybody, if that happens, we won't have anybody to blame but the church. Because we have the keys of the kingdom. And we can bind, loose, bind. And we can stand and we can fight. Or we can sleep. Or we can be so self-centered we never even bother to pray. And we pray all about ourselves. So, just wanted to... encourage us all to be serious about that. And I just had a thought. Let me do something here different. Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I so love your challenge and I love this because it helps us. Everything you said helps us to realize the Lord is looking at all of our hearts and all of our prayers.
Absolutely. And when's enough? I believe that we pray until he answers and we don't stop. We pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that that's all you ever do. But boy, we can be praying constantly. And the other thing to remember is our spirit is praying with Yeshua all the time. Our mind joins that dance. But I know that if we really believed that in a matter of 2 months, 3 months, there's a really strong chance that this nation could be overcome and we could find ourselves imprisoned or martyred because we're Christians, we might pray a little bit more, you know? We might fast a little bit. if we really believed it. And I'm here to tell you, this could happen. And it could happen in the next 6 months. So, again, my favorite prayer of all prayers is the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done in America, even as it is in heaven. Deliver us from evil. So, pray the prayer that Yeshua told us to pray. And pray it and pray it and pray it and pray in tongues and let's fight. We're in a war. And if the soldiers are sleeping in the bunker all day and night and just partying and eating and drinking and doing what they want and not fighting the war, guess who wins? The enemy. And this may not be at all what God wants, but because I don't believe it is. So anyway, any other comments? Yeah, Scott.
I think the perspective for their sake.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's really good, Scott. Thank you. Yeah, don't sit here and think us old people are going to do it. You know? Yep, we are. Yeah, and
good. Anybody has ideas or how to gather, whatever it is, just boy, I tell you,
I just encourage you. I encourage all of us to gather together, because one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. But to just, you know, all of you residents, you have permission. You don't have to say, you don't have to get some kind of permission to grab whomever and pray together.
Yeah.
Feel free. You know, just make sure you communicate so that people know and others can join you if they want, and that your leaders know where you're at and what you're doing. And so I just believe the cry that we've had now for however long it's been, Lord, give us a spirit of intercession for Yeshua's sake. He's going to answer that prayer, and not to put Suzanne on the spot, yesterday morning, I think it was, or the morning before, Friday morning, she woke up, and almost like instantly when she woke up, she began sobbing for an hour and didn't even know why, just weeping and wailing. That's the Spirit of God. And then later in the day, she found out why.
Yeah.
And entered in, I was present, and several people, and she entered into another wave of the Lord's heart as he was interceding through her and with her. And sometimes your intercession isn't words. Sometimes it's laughter. We saw that Thursday night with the apprentices as three different people, just this laughter, and that's happened pretty regularly. And it's partnering with Yahweh, who sits on his throne and laughs at the enemy. So don't, you know, we're such, should I say that, Lord? We're kind of narrow-minded humans. You know, we think we figure things out, and we put it in a box, and we go, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. And then when something comes along that doesn't fit in that box, we either criticize it, judge it as being from the enemy. That's what they did to Yeshua. Or we ignore it, or we get rid of it and say, I don't want that, and red X and the whole thing. Well, sometimes God does something totally different, like waking up and entering into intercession immediately. See, Suzanne's spirit was with the Lord all night, interceding. Her soul and body just connected with what was happening in the spirit, and it manifested. And so those of you who are here, I don't dwell on time a lot, so I lose track of time. So whenever it was, when the spirit of intercession did hit suddenly here, and we had that move of God's Spirit. That thing didn't look normal. It was messy, and God told me in the very beginning, this is going to be really messy, and a lot of people aren't going to understand it, and they're not, and they're going to judge it and criticize it. But that was a move of God, and He was getting us ready. He was doing so much back then that we're reaping today. And so, again, let's press in harder again. I don't know about you, but I'm still praying, God, give us a spirit of intercession for Yeshua's sake. And let's ask for it, because we can't conjure it up. We can't make it happen. We can't pray enough to make it happen. But I know when you experience that, you understand that you've tapped into something that's supernatural. It's beyond us. And when we tap into that realm, things change like we just can't even imagine. Because we're flowing with God's heart and His prayers. And it does matter, like Kelly said. Our prayers do matter. They do change things. And I love the example of Moses. Probably my favorite intercessor in the Bible is Moses. How he, when God said that He's going to wipe out all the Jews because they were stiff-necked, rebellious, ungrateful, had spirit of entitlement, like I don't think any of us have ever seen, even though we've seen that thing a few times. And he knew God. He knew God's heart. He knew that God was merciful and kind and long-suffering. He knew God. Because he knew God was that way, he dared to come up before God and say, God, if you kill all the Jews, what are the nations all around going to say about you? You're going to have a bad reputation. Can you imagine saying that to God? Yeah. Whew. But he did. What are they going to say? I'll tell you, God, what they're going to say. They're going to say that you weren't powerful enough to get them out and into the promised land. That's what they're going to say. And God changed his mind. He changed his mind. One man who knew God and had the courage to come before him and ask for mercy saved the Jews. Do you know there wouldn't be any Jews on this earth today if Moses hadn't done that? Because God was going to wipe them all out. He said, I'll raise up a people out of you, Moses. I got some Jewish blood. I wouldn't be here today. So remember that when you forget to pray, when you don't feel like praying. So super, 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 super underline, highlight. When you feel an urge to gather to pray with someone, you know, there's times to pray alone. There's times to gather people. A lot of times we can help pull people into prayer that wouldn't normally pray. So when you feel that little nudge, because it's going to start like a little nudge, like a little tap, a little thought, please don't ignore it. Grab it. Grab it. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave started last night to explain about We Love You, Trump. Well, in the news, on Fox News, there was just a little headline that said, Trump almost in tears over a chant. And that was it. So I went ahead and read the article, and what ended up happening was in two places, this one was in Michigan, and then it was a campaign thing somewhere else too. And in both places, they started chanting, We Love You, Trump. And it wasn't a political statement. It wasn't about welfare checks, or it wasn't about new roads. It wasn't an agenda kind of thing. The crowd rose up to say something as simple as, "We love you, Trump." Now, we all know Trump is, we all have our idea about Trump. I mean, he's rude, he's everything else. But to express that in a group like that and have the whole group come into alignment, and they just panned very quickly. I mean, a 10-second shot of the crowd. And this crowd that was doing it, the guys were standing, smiling. They were like, it was like total opposite of what's happening on the other side in the party where they're scowling and they're no, and this is, and it's all negative. This was a positive note. And putting all that political stuff aside about what agenda and what law and what policies he may bring in, if we come in unison and say, "We love you, man," it's coming in unison with our leadership, which is obviously the Lord, but the Lord also is involved in him. So it's just rattled me enough, and that's what Dave was talking about last night, was that something is shifting. Well, we know something's shifting in the political realm. Oh, my gosh, the left and the right. But this is, like, different. It's like, oh, we're not talking about an agenda. We're talking about love.
Yeah.
He said, "I don't do this." He says, "I'll ruin my reputation."
Well, there was a prophecy. I don't remember what year it was. It was before Trump was ever even considered to be running for president. It was a number of years ago. And I believe the prophecy was from Kim Clement. And he said, I believe I'm quoting this correctly, he said that Trump would go into the office of president as a heathen, but when he comes out, he'll be a spirit-filled believer. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've noticed in the last month, maybe, and I don't spend a lot of time looking at news, but when I like to listen to the president when he addresses the nation. But I've noticed a remarkable change in his words, his demeanor. He's not nearly coming like that anymore, and he's cleaning up his language. Like, used to on news, you'd hear him throw when he got poked and prodded by the news reporters and he'd had enough, he'd throw a cuss word in here or there. I haven't heard him cuss in a month. And that's pretty remarkable. But he's definitely, you can see the light on the man. And so I know the church is really in some places and some people coming against him. So I think we need Fred and then Diane. Yeah.
It's just a radical, definite change you see in the person and in the atmosphere around it.
Yeah.
And it's part of that simple message that Jesus loves us.
Yeah.
We love one another. It just breaks things.
Yes.
It changes things.
Yeah. And God is working to do that for our president. So, and God loves Trump. God loves President Trump. So let's remember that. And we're supposed to be his imagers, remember? We're supposed to present to other people God's heart. So I love what Scott said. Let's add those to our prayers daily. Just send it out into the airwaves. We love you, President Trump. And we love whatever, whoever else God puts on your heart. Diane.
I just want to say to you, especially with this whole, everybody's and every prayer matters.
Yes. Yeah. I would encourage house leaders here and to gather your home together daily and pray these together. Spend some time praying together. It will bond you like nothing else does, and who knows where it will lead as well. And never give up. If you don't quit, we win. If we don't quit, we win. Now, it may not look like what we think, what we hope, but it certainly does matter. And I want to remind us all as well, those of you who've been in the class now for a while, the battle over America right now is not about the left and the right, the Democrats and the Republicans. It's not about the deep state and Trump. It's not. It's about some Elohim who want to rule and reign on this earth, who are fighting to take over America fully and kick God out of this country and absolutely resist God. That's what it's about. That's what this battle's all about. It's a war between the God and a bunch of little gods. And we all have read, hopefully, the end of the book, and we know who wins. But we also know that from point A to the final victory, a lot of chaos and darkness and a lot of innocent people are going to die and suffer. We know that. We're not going to escape that. Don't make that your goal, to escape suffering. If on Thursday night, the Lord, I think I shared it with y'all, had this encounter about time, and he said, you're running out of time. With every click of the clock, I could hear the clocks ticking really loudly, supernaturally. And with every tick-tock, we were 1 minute closer to the Lord's return. 1 minute closer to suffering. And the question is, we're running out of time. Are we ready? Are we ready to suffer for him and to consider it all joy when we suffer? That's going to be the challenge. You know, I'm pretty confident in the grace of God in my life that I'm going to be able to suffer and get through it and stay true. I'm confident in his grace to keep me. But my question for me is, am I going to consider it all joy? And I'm still praying about that one, because I can't even consider it all joy today when I suffer some little something that I think is Mount Everest in my life. So I'm not kidding myself to think that I'm going to be able to count that all joy without the grace of God. So as we continue with every click of that clock that every one of us are in, let's remember where to keep our eyes. Remember the vision I had of the three waves? The one's already hit, the virus. Well, the second one's right up on us. It's right in our face. And we had to be stationed and positioned and our toes dug into the rock under our feet. It was like my toes were gripping so hard that somehow they pressed into the rock like it was putty and were hanging on. And then the Holy Spirit came around me and made like a cocoon around me. But I felt the effects of that first wave. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel it. It's not going to affect you. I did, and the second one's even larger. So how much more should we brace ourselves and get ready? Not to brace ourselves to escape, but to endure to the end, to run our race and be faithful unto the end. And then we receive the prize. And trust me, there's a prize waiting for all of us that will literally blow our minds. I mean, it's exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ask or imagine what the love of God has in store for all of us if we're faithful to the end. And don't fall into the trap that you can be unfaithful and still receive that prize. You can make mistakes and still receive the prize. And you can sin and still receive the prize. If we keep ourselves in him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us as we repent, as we confess our sins. He's faithful and just. I'm praying for a spirit of repentance to hit us again, because we're headed into that season anyway. I want to go through this really quickly. Rosh Hashanah is coming up soon. It's on the, let's just look at this, see if I can, I'm going to briefly go over this, because as I talk about what these Jewish, what the Feast of the Lord mean, some of you here are going to, that's going to really strike your heart, and you're going to say, I want to do that. I want to do something around it. And again, I don't consider this a matter of your salvation, whether you observe Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur or not. It's not. But boy, I'll tell you what, understanding the feast of the Lord, sure does help us understand the Lord even more in another way. They mean something, and they mean something for us as well. So Rosh Hashanah is believed to be by the Jews the time when God created Adam. They believe it's the beginning of this world, this earth. And it also marks the beginning of 10 days called the Days of Awe, A-W-E. Those 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to the Day of Atonement, which is called Yom Kippur, those 10 days in between are meant to be a time of introspection and repentance. No, because I didn't know I was going to be doing this like this. So, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the two high holy days in the Jewish faith. They believe that God judges all creatures during the 10 days between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And they believe that God decides at that 10-day period who will live or die in the coming year. Jewish law teaches that God inscribes the names of the righteous in the Book of Life, and he condemns the wicked to death on Rosh Hashanah. And the people who fall between those two categories of life and death, they believe they have until Yom Kippur to repent. As a result, observant Jews consider Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as a time for prayer, a time to do good deeds, reflecting on past mistakes, and making things right with other people. Rosh Hashanah is considered a solemn feast. It wasn't marked by gaiety and partying. It was a solemn time of reflection. It begins with the sounding of the shofar. It's considered vital that they blow the shofar. And this shofar had a very distinctive blast. And Rosh Hashanah is on September 18th this year, I think. Is that right? 19th? The sundown. Yeah. So I was going to see Friday, and then on September 28th is Yom Kippur. So the 10 days in between. So I was going to see, Jeremy, if you would, on next Shabbat, blow the shofar. Now,
is there a specific, like, there's a...
I'm going to tell you. You can probably remember. So they began with a long blast, one long blast, three short blasts, nine how do you say staccato? Is that correct? Staccato, nine staccato blasts, and and ends with a very long blast. That's going to take some practice. Whew! So after the trumpet blast and the assembly, Jews returned to their homes for a very celebratory meal. It's filled with symbolism and tradition. Some people choose to wear new clothing or special clothing, and they decorate their tables in their homes with fine linens and celebrate the idea of a new beginning. They typically begin with the ceremonial lighting of the two candles, and they serve food that represents positive wishes. Some of the food that is common at that meal next Friday night would be apples dipped in honey, because they're all about having a sweet new year. The next year would be sweet. So they have a lot of sweets. Yeah, we have honey. We have both. So ancient Jews believe that apples have healing properties, and the honey signifies the hope that the new year will be sweet. Rosh Hashanah meals usually include an assortment of sweet treats for the same reason. They also have round challah bread, not the long loaf, and often they put raisins in the dough, again, to symbolize the sweetness. I just think of the sweetness of God's atonement and his forgiveness when I think of this holiday, for me personally, that Yeshua would die to save us. So also there's another common custom that's done on this date where some Jews take bread and go to a body of water, flowing like a river, something flowing, and they throw pieces of bread into the water, symbolizing that the sins of their past year are swept away. And they leave that feeling that they're symbolically, spiritually cleansed and renewed. Now, we know that that will not forgive us of our sins, but it's symbolic of the fact that Yeshua carries our sins away. And I believe in the river of life. When we wash in the river of life, I believe we will be, our earth life will be washed away from us forever, for eternity. And I look forward to that time. So from next Friday night, for the next 10 days until the Day of Atonement, we will be in what the Jews consider the days of awe, that period of introspection and repentance. Search me, God, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. And when you see it, you repent, you make it right during that time. And then on the 10th day, September 28th, is the Day of Atonement. It's considered to be the most important holiday in the Jewish faith. They believe that on Yom Kippur, God decides each person's fate. So Jews are encouraged to make amends and ask forgiveness for sins committed during the past year. That holiday is observed with a 25-hour fast and a special religious service. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, those of you that remember the worship teaching in the Tabernacle of Moses, that's the day of the year, one time a year, when the high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and come into the most holy place behind the curtain, and he would apply the blood to the four horns on the Ark of the Covenant behind the curtain to atone for the sins of the Jews. So that's what that day represents, the day when God himself forgives us. Now, we know that because Yeshua died, that every day is a day of atonement for us. Every day we can come in to the most holy place and receive the cleansing that we need. We don't have to wait till September 28th, but this is a prophetic picture, foreshadowing of what Yeshua would do. He's a great high priest who went into the most holy place when he rose from the grave. And it's such a beautiful picture. Yeshua dies, stays in the grave 3 days, is in Sheol, preaches the gospel in Sheol, takes back the keys from Satan, of the authority from Satan of death and Hades, takes those keys back. He begins his ascent, and we see at his tomb where Mary, not his mother, but the other Mary, had come to anoint him and to see his body. And the stone had been rolled away. He was gone. The tomb was empty, and she's weeping, and she sees a man, and she thinks he's the gardener, and she asks him if he knows where the body is. And he says, the gardener says her name, and when he speaks her name, she recognizes him as the Lord. And she reaches out to embrace him, and he says, "Stop. Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father." You see, Yeshua had to be pure. He had to be untainted by humanity, and he couldn't be defiled. So he stopped her from touching him. I just think to myself, man, we think we're all great. You know, we just think we're... And just this woman who was so compelled by love wants to embrace him, and she's pure in that. And he says, "No, you're not. Stop. You can't touch me." We're going to talk, if we get to it, we're going to talk about holiness this morning. And that's how holy God is. Because he hadn't yet ascended. What does that mean? He had to take his blood into the most holy place. He had to come before the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God, and put his sinless blood on the altar that's before God's throne. It's there now. And it had to be untainted. He had to be perfect, flawless. And I just find it amazing that he could go into Sheol, a place of evil, and not be defiled. And yet he sees Mary and says, "You can't touch me." Mary was alive. And so this is what the Day of Atonement, September 28, means to us. Symbolically, the day when Yeshua left this earth, took his very own blood and gave it to his Father and presented it before his Father. "I did your will, Father. I did your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." And because he did that, whosoever will, anyone, doesn't matter what our past looked like, doesn't matter what's in our hearts today, we can come to him and we can find a brand new start, a brand new life. And he has everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. So as we remember this symbolic season that's coming up, I encourage you to pull it forward and put Yeshua the Messiah into that equation and be thankful that he's done that for us and celebrate and enjoy what he's done and what he's still doing and what he's going to do for you, for me, for us collectively, for this nation. And we have a unique window. I believe that I know God chose these dates. God chose these feasts. It was God's idea, not the Jews. The Jews didn't create this. God did. It's his time. And so because of that, I love to honor that And I love to acknowledge it. I love to, again, not because it earns me. It doesn't. Yeshua paid the price for me, not me observing the feast. But boy, it reminds me of what he has done and what he's going to do. And so because of that, I love to acknowledge them. I love to take part in them. And so one of the ideas that I've had, I haven't mentioned it because I honestly haven't had time. It was to the leadership here. But it keeps coming back to me even while I'm up here talking, and it won't go away. I would love to see us this Friday gather somewhere, at the pavilion here, will depend on weather, have Jeremy blow the shofar, spend a few minutes together praying, and then I believe we're to go to our homes and have Shabbat together in our homes and celebrate, acknowledge the day, and have apples with honey and round challah bread. That's going to be interesting, but we'll figure it out, right? And if you want to invite another home in, feel free, especially if there's homes that don't have many people in it. But keep it homey, keep it small, keep it intimate, and let's... So, Suzanne, I'm going to need you to send that out to our off the farm and people who aren't here, if you wouldn't mind. Everybody good with that? I just, when I said it, I felt the Lord all over it. So let's do that. We'll gather at 5 o'clock, have the shofar blast, and then go to our homes and celebrate that time. Okay, any questions, anything? Geely, you want to add anything to that?
So we also just have a head of a fish on the evening of Rosh Hashanah. And then that symbolizes, like, to be a head and not a tail, and to be leading. And so that's what also another thing you can have that dinner. Yeah, part of it, if you want. Or you can just have it on the table. That works too.
Yeah. So we need
people to go fishing. Got to go fishing and catch yourself a fish. But eat the rest of the body, too. When I was in, where was I? Oh, yeah, that's unclean. Catfish are unclean. Yeah. So. There you go.
So just an administrative thing. So with the guests that come off the farm, then we want to encourage each family group who has that guest to make sure and invite them to your home so that they know where to go.
Unless they want to have their own personal. Some people may want to.
Well, find a place for your guest. Let's put it that way. We want to be invited somewhere, right? Yeah. So let's all be aware of that. Make sure the guests have a place to go.
Anything else? All right. Sounds good.
So one more time. So like a fairly long blast, 3 short blasts, 9 staccatos, and 1 long one at the end.
Yes.
Okay. 1 very long one at the end. So you start with a long blast, 3 short, 9 staccato, and then you end with a very long blast. Y'all be praying for Jeremy. That's got to be hard.
I've had a lot of practice. I had like 7 years in jazz, and so jazz band.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if you desire to follow the tradition of wearing a new outfit, symbolizing a new beginning, Kelly said yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we have the boutique downstairs, and new to you, right? Feel free to do that as well. All right? This is exciting. Exciting time. Okay, let's start on our Elohim. Danny needs a new red shirt. Yeah. Oh, good. So for those of you who couldn't hear, Geely said that they also have pomegranates